I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 585. If you haven't watched Infinity War, you won't now.
This is the Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi, sis. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm very good.
No, it's been a good week. It's been a good week.
We finally have seen some sun. I've seen some green grass. Spring is, like, teasing New England still.
Right. Especially since, you know, Memorial Day is coming up. Spring should have shown up by now.
You would think, but it's still like, I'm not sure I'm ready to commit yet.
There is like a line for fashionably late when you've gone past it. And spring is definitely past the fashionably late arrival for sure, yes. In Massachusetts. But, you know, enough about the weather. We're not meteorologists. I have seen some sun. I have also seen some trees attempting to bud. So, you know, I support you, trees. You can do it. I believe in you. You can do the thing. But we got some game stuff to talk about. I got some anime stuff to talk about. First and foremost, just really quickly, Panda, you know, one of the things that we hadn't talked about, because we were waiting for people to see it, was Infinity War.
Yes.
And I feel by now, anybody who is a fan of our podcast would have seen Infinity War. I'm going to say spoiler alert now. So, like, if you haven't, stop listening to this episode. Watch the movie, then you can come back to this episode. But we are going to talk about Infinity War. We're going to kick off this episode with a Blurs of a Feather segment on Infinity War. Because I know I've been chopping at the bit to talk about this. I know you have, too. And I think that we've done a damn good job not talking about it on the website or in a podcast up until now.
I agree. And it's been painstakingly hard.
Okay, but, like, at this point now, we're a month in, so we could do this thing. So we're going to do this thing. So last chance. Get out now if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want it spoiled, because we're going all in.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, if you're still here, then you want to hear all this, and welcome to the dish. So first and foremost, I just want to talk about the movie, like, in overall, like, on a high level. As far as, like, Avengers movies go, and really Marvel movies go, I thought that Infinity War was a good movie, but, like, I didn't splooge at the movie. Like,
really?
Some other people did. Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like I'm kind of on the same fence as you. Because there's a certain level, like, there's a level of expectation that I think Marvel moviegoers have that, like, DC moviegoers don't. So, like,
and do you feel that expectation is unrealistic?
Like, am I expecting a Marvel movie to be shot well? Yes. Do I imagine that most of the action is going to feel as authentic as it can, depending on who is delivering the action? Absolutely. Like, am I expecting the acting to be spot on? Once again, absolutely. As they've been building this shared universe, and Marvel has seemed to capture the right portions of, you know, wit to humor to balance out this whole shared space and make it believable. But at the same time, like, if you've read Infinity War, and I'm going to say right now, I haven't, but I did a lot of research into it before leading into the movie, because I did not want to be that person who's like, ooh and ah, only at Mattress Giant, and not understand why I'm oohing and aahing. So I was like, let me talk to my friends who read the comics. Let me see what their takeaway, from the trailers they're seeing, if they think that we're going to align close to canon or not.
Right.
And then have my own experience.
Okay.
So, I mean, I did my research. I'm very proud of myself. I would pat myself on the back.
I'm always proud of you when you do research.
I know. I should do it more often.
I really wish you would.
But anyway, so, I mean, a lot of them were like, you know, this is going to be the tilt in all of the movies. Because, I mean, you have your basic movie, you know, good guy, bad guy, conflict, resolution. Mm-hmm. But this is going to kind of tie all of them in together and have the hero unit as its own character. Not just each individual one, but heroes as one staple versus this overwhelming threat that is just growing more and more impossible to even make a dent in.
Yeah, Thanos.
And the reality of sometimes the good guys don't always win.
Right.
You know, so like, you're coming up to this, you know, this constantly moving object and this unstoppable force, and what happens when they collide. And that's what I feel like this movie as a whole kind of was. And I definitely feel like it was done well, but at the same time, like, this was going to be a hard movie for fans of the singular heroes to watch.
Who never read any of the comics.
Right. Who had no idea what was supposed to happen. But I'm just saying, like
that's the one thing that, like, really surprised me. And I know I shouldn't have been surprised. Like, I really shouldn't have. Because so many people are fans of the Marvel movies without actually being fans of the characters or the source material that they come from. But I was so surprised at the amount of people who are like, I'm so hyped to see Infinity War and they better not kill off blah, 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 or blah, blah, blah.
It's like, guys. Because
I'll be done. And I'll be like, did you read, like,
have you read anything?
Of the...
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, that, like, and even, like, I appreciate the, like, I shouldn't say fandoms, that's not what I mean. I appreciate the passion that non-comic acclimated individuals have come into the, like, open forum of the genre of the fan base. So, like, be like, I love it for this, and I love it for X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm glad that we're getting all these new people who are interested. But at the same time, you kind of want them to be aware that, you know, this Infinity War has existed for years.
Yes.
Now. Like, yes. So very much like those who read, like, you know.
Thor is not a new character. He didn't just come into being with Chris Hemsworth putting in some.
Right. Some face time and some, you know, muscle flex.
Right.
But I mean, like, this story has already played itself out very much like, you know, Game of Thrones. Like, people who read the book were like, I can't stand people who are coming into this acting all shocked when, you know, the extra legwork could have happened. However, at the same time, like, that little sliver of Schadenfreude, which I do have it, I completely admit that, like, when I see someone about to fuck up.
Schadenfreude.
Like, and it's not like one that will land them, like, in prison or something, but, like, the little ones that you can, like, laugh to yourself because, you know, you won't
look,
do that.
It's the, it, Schadenfreude is the reason why you giggle when somebody trips.
Well, I mean, if it's me, I'm always like, oh, did anyone see that? I didn't, what? But anyway.
But, like, it's not a malice-based thing.
No. I'm not like, man, I wish everyone would trip because everyone's an asshole. It's just like, you fucked up. And we all do it, and it's a human aspect. Mm-hmm. But, like, I had that little sliver of Schadenfreude walking into Infinity War because I'm like, here are these. And, I mean, we've got some, you know, very excited moms who love looking at their man meat. And they're like, yummy. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, wait till he turns into actual meat because he did.
Yeah, your husbando is fucked.
But seeing the fact that, like, this slow motion car crash, emotional car crash was going to happen to so many different people across the country did kind of lead me to kind of go, hee hee.
Well, no idea. And I think that's part of the reason why I thought it was a good movie, but I wasn't, like, splooge because, like, I knew going in because I had read the comics as a kid, like, what was going to happen. So I wasn't surprised. Like, nothing surprised me about what happened in the movie. But what did surprise me was how many people around me watching the movie were surprised at what happened. So I mean, you've had years.
Yeah, you had years to figure this shit out.
Or to just do a little bit of research. Like, I am not the comic book snob that's like, well, if you didn't read the original books, then you don't know shit. Because there's a bunch of books that I have not read, but I do appreciate characters that I've been introduced to through crossovers and things like that, that I've then gone on and used the power of the internet to find out more about them. So everyone has known that Infinity War was coming for years. You have had plenty of opportunity to get on the Googles and be like, what is Infinity War? There's a Wikipedia page that pretty much gives you the 101 with the nice detail about Infinity War, as far as canon Infinity War, to let you know that, hey, this is what the fuck happens in Infinity War. Right. So you should not have been surprised. Like, none of this should have come as a surprise to anyone.
Like, I wish we had someone who had, like, a authentic, genuine, like, vehement reaction. So we could, like, pick their brains about it. Because in my mind, I'm like, guys, it's, like, the biggest war. Like, we've had a civil war.
Right.
But, like, no, like, yeah, Rhodey got hurt, like, severely, like, my legs don't work without machines no more.
Yeah, fuck you, Falcon.
Like, and in Civil War, and I'm like, and that was, and I'm surprised people didn't react to that with as much, you know, vim and vigor as they did for Infinity War. Because I'm like, you know, the stakes were really high in Civil War, too. Yeah. And we have now seen what a schism in a united heroic force can happen. It can be brutal. It can be like this. So I'm like,
right, and this is Marvel telling you it's going to be brutal,
right?
And it's going to be visceral, and it's going to happen. Oh, guess what? It did happen.
So I don't know why people are like, oh my god, I can't. It's like, are you serious? They've been prepping us for the severity of all this forever. Like,
four fucking movies.
So it's like, I don't feel bad for some people who are seriously butthurt, because, you know, you could have prepped your butt like everybody else.
Yeah. You like, know, my butt sure you needed no preppage, because my butt was prepped back in 96.
Like, I made sure I had a nice seafood dinner. Mm-hmm. I wore really comfy clothes.
Yeah.
I found a
elastic
bidet.
Waistband.
I was ready.
Right.
For what was going to happen. So, but I like how we're now kind of seeing, you know, Hero in its, as its own unique character in the Marvel Universe, and not just individual heroes rising up to, like,
it's, and I think that's one of the benefits that you get when you have an ensemble cast, and you have a good ensemble cast with a solid treatment of the ensemble as the ensemble, as opposed to all these individuals thrown together.
Right.
So here we go. You know, and I think that is something that we've seen not only in superhero movies, but, you know, we've seen it in TV shows as well. You know, there are ensemble casts that work really well together, that have really great chemistry, and so the writing comes together very easily, and therefore the shows are really enjoyable, like Brooklyn, like Nine-Nine, you know,
oh
like
Frasier.
Oh my god,
Frasier. I'm so glad Brooklyn Nine-Nine got saved by NBC!
Right, but like, we'll talk about that at some point too, but for me, I think that Black Panther set the bar really high for me in the MCU when you think about all the movies that came before Black Panther. So there's like a, you know, BBP and then ABP, right? So before Black Panther, you know, the Marvel movie that kind of set the bar for me was the first Avengers movie. Because Ultron was just utter trash. But like, Ultron was the first MCU movie that I didn't see in the theater. I waited for it to come out on digital. Because, like, I knew it just was going to be hot trash, and then it was. But getting back to the movie, you know, we've danced around it a bunch, so I'm just going to go in at it. Infinity War, which is broken up across two movies. So people who are expecting a resolution in this movie also kind of had me sitting there like, the fuck? Because you know this is two movies, so it's the first one, it's not going to have a resolution. It is the setup to the resolution movie. So you have acts one and two in this movie, and the conclusion is in the movie that concludes Infinity War.
But you know, the great...
Did y'all look at phase three when they laid out the plan of, like, what movies were going to happen when?
I think they were just... Everyone was too much on the hype train. But going back to the whole fact that, you know, obviously this Infinity War was the setup and not the full conclusion, even though they left us on a cliffhanger, I still feel like a big chunk of the setup ended in a way where I didn't feel like cliffhangers are meant to make you feel like, oh shit! Like, but I was like, yeah, that's a great place to put a marker right in this.
And I think that that's the difference between someone who is familiar with what Infinity War is supposed to be versus someone who didn't do their research, right? Because someone who didn't do their research, they left going, oh fuck.
I mean, granted, I left going, oh fuck, but I'm just like, no, that makes enough sense because
there's different oh fucks, sis. Like, yeah, that's true. There's oh fuck, but okay, so now I know that going into the next movie, this, and then there's the people who came out like, I can't believe you killed Loki. Like, how, what are you guys thinking? You guys have completely destroyed the MCU. Oh fuck. There's different levels of it. And I was really surprised by how many people were surprised by how many heroes died, because the whole point and the reason why Thanos was so scary and such a good big bad is because Thanos was out. His goal was to decrease the population of the entire universe by half, because there wasn't enough resources and there wasn't enough, in his mind, space for everyone. And so the easy solution would be to thin the herd so that there's more for everybody left. And if you're talking about small populations of, you know, like animals, okay, as an example, when there's too many deer in an area, you gotta thin the herd. Because if you don't, there won't be enough grounds, there won't be enough food, and you'll end up with a whole bunch of sick deer.
Yeah, we have invasive species on this planet where they are literally overpopulated. Areas.
And so that's when you call open season and you thin out the herd a little bit. Okay? So it's not a theory that is wrong in its line of thought. But when you take that idea and you apply it as a sentient being, a human, to other humans, it becomes taboo.
Right.
Now, I want to preface this, guys, because I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I'm not in alignment with Thanos that you just kill off half the freaking universe.
Like, we weren't on Killmonger's side with killing colonizers. Okay, we're not on Thanos' side. We're not on
Killmonger's. I'm merely saying, I understand. Okay? I understand where Killmonger was coming from. I just don't agree with it personally.
Right.
I understand Thanos' line of thought. But I don't agree with it.
Right.
Okay? As it relates to human beings and alien humanoid-like life across the universe, okay? And so that's why he is after the stones, why he had the gauntlet created, because Thanos himself was not going to be able to hold all of the stones, and we've seen that many of the stones can't be managed by a single wielder. They already showed that in the first Guardians movie.
Right, it took all of them
coming together, so that's why Thanos had a gauntlet created that would house the stones that would allow the wearer of the gauntlet to then manipulate the stones to their will.
You know, I don't know why no one else thought about, hey, how about we put these things on something? Like, why was Thanos the one to be like, hey, I have this glove. Can you, like, put these gems on this glove? Like,
well,
no,
we don't
one
know
about
what
that
happened in the precursor, like, before the gems were split across the universe.
True. Like, okay. Someone like, hey, can you put this in a staff? Like, like,
you know,
I'm
surprised. And we've seen it. I mean, the Tesseract was in a staff before it was taken out.
Right. It was in its own staff, but, like, yep. But anyway, so we've kind of talked, we're talking around it, but why don't we get into the nitty gritty of the actual movie?
Yeah, so the movie itself is basically Thanos and his minions are out to gather up the remaining stones. He has one stone.
He has power. He has power stone. We first see him in the movie and he encounters Thor on his ship. In terms of timeline wise, Thanos has just come across Thor a little while, not too long after Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
Thanos and his crew don't fucked it up.
Yeah, they lay waste to everybody on the ship.
Everybody. And by everybody, I mean like 3 minutes in, Idris Elba, you know, lance to the gut.
Oh, Heimdall.
And I mean like, not before he managed to like send the Hulk back to Earth.
Yes.
But, like, still, like...
Okay, and Thanos gut punches the Hulk so hard that the Hulk decides he doesn't want to come out for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, he's got performance issues. He's mad he's not the biggest and baddest no more. Yeah. And now he's taking his toys and going home.
Yes, so he's throwing a temper tantrum.
Which I find highly ironic.
And I thought that Mark Ruffalo did a very good job.
I think he did a great job.
Of portraying those two sides of his character in conflict with each other, and trying to find his value. But basically, Thanos is going to get all the stones so that he can snap his fingers.
Literally, snap his fingers. Get rid
of half of the universe. And so the entirety of the movie, people are trying to protect the stones that they have in their possession, the biggest one being Vision.
Yep.
Because without...
Yes, he is very much trying to guard his, but at the same time,
but the Avengers are as well.
I mean, I believe though that like the biggest stones to have the most concern about was the Time Stone
and the Soul Stone
and the Soul Stone,
right?
Yeah, but yes, Vision has like a strong motivation to hold on to his because without his stone, he would cease to be.
Well,
or at
and
least
Vision,
he believes he would cease to be.
And Vision is really the pivotal one. Like, the movie pretty much sets it up that you know that Thanos is going to get the Soul Stone and Thanos is going to get the Time Stone.
Right.
Okay, you know that. And so a big chunk of the movie is dedicated to everyone going, we must protect Vision because Thanos can't get Vision's stone. It's the whole reason that Cap and his ragtag crew
right.
come back to the tower and hit up Brody. And they all Avenger assemble.
Yes, they do. They do.
In order to protect Vision. That's what they come back for. Because they're basically at the point where they're like, Thanos is going to get the other stones. We got to keep him from getting the fifth stone.
Well, I mean, I think they were like, we need to protect this because he's going to come for it. But I don't, no one, air quotes here, asterisks here, throughout most of the movie is aware that anyone knows where the Soul Stone is. And there were a couple of people who were like, he can't get them all because no one has seen the Soul Stone in eons.
Right.
So like it's a fool's errand because there's no link, there's no knowledge. And I'm like, no, there wouldn't be a movie unless someone somewhere said something.
And this is again where I'm like, did you guys watch the movies?
The movies?
Did you guys see Guardians? Like the whole thing with Gamora was that Thanos sent her out to find the Soul Stone. Okay?
Yep.
And
find
Gamora
something.
Even had a conversation
with Nebula. Yep.
Which they throw back in as a callback in this movie.
Right.
But she had the conversation with Nebula where she's like, he can't get it because I know where it is and I got rid of the map.
And I'm the only one who knows where it is. And I'm like, bitch, your sister's a fucking computer. Why have we not learned that Siri and like Alexa are always listening? and this is advanced technology. Shut your mouth.
Okay. But even at that, like, she didn't tell Nebula where it was. She just said that I found it. I know where it is. And I got rid of the map.
Clearly, that would set up that, like, we now know that Thanos is going to try to get to Gamora because Gamora is the only one who has any tangible knowledge as to where the stone that no one knows where it is.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. So I'm just like, so again, y'all weren't paying attention because this roadmap was already laid out. So when I went into the movie, I knew, one, Thanos was going to get all the stones. Two, he was going to snap half the universe out of existence. And that was going to be the setup for everyone who was left remaining trying to figure out in the final movie how to undo it.
Right.
So, like, I was not, like, messed up as people started to disappear. And I think that there was a lot of people that in the movie when Thanos did, in fact, get the gauntlet and snap his fingers and people started to disappear, there were a lot of people in the theater that were emotional and were crying. And
I think the way that they set it up with him getting the stones and, like he could just wipe it out with a snap, and I think people thought it was going to be as easy as, like, a star wipe, and people were just gone. So
I don't know that anybody had that thought. I think that at least my perception...
Literally, I believe there was a dude next to me, like, two seats down, who was like, I just thought, poof, they'd be gone. I didn't think we'd, like, watch them fade into nothing.
Well,
and
I think...
Like, no, Marvel wants you to feel the weight of this loss.
My thing was, I think that people thought that the superheroes would somehow be excluded from the
half of the galaxy equation. Hit Thanos. Not that I feel like Thanos really had, like, it's not like he went through and picked. Like, he clearly said when he snapped it that this would be completely random, and that, like, whoever goes.
Right,
and
but we knew that, like, that there were exceptions that could be made, right? Because the deal that Strange made with Thanos was that he would give him the Time Stone, but he had to let Tony Stark live.
Right.
And so in the disappearance, in the balance of the equation, Stark stayed, but Strange went.
Right.
So I don't think that, like, I agree with you that Thanos picked out the entirety of the half
go. No, he said it. It was in the movie that he clearly said that, like, it's a completely random thing. So I think Thanos was kind of bluffing.
Yeah, he was
Strange about it, mm-hmm. because as soon as he snapped his fingers, you know, he had no control over who got taken.
Right.
So, like, there was still a good chance that after that, that both Strange and Iron Man would have gone. I think he was just like, you cannot kill him, which is why, like, that I can agree to. Give me the stone. But, you know, the purging was going to happen regardless. Clearly the movie is about Thanos getting all the stones and, like, people
trying to... And wiping out half the universe.
I think
what was interesting to me was not just people's reactions to that happening. I do think, you know, again, the movie did a really good job, to your point, sis, of the heroes don't always save the day. Or the saving of the day doesn't always look the way that you expect it to look.
Exactly.
And I think that the movie did a really good job as a superhero movie of taking you through that story.
I think they presented it really well. A really great job of making all of these superheroes who, while none of them seem to be super vain about the fact that they are, like, you know, some of them are superhuman and have these abilities, but they have made them more human. All of them. Because they're all at the mercy of this overwhelming doom. Like, none of them are absolved from it. They are all under the judgment, blah, blah, blah. So, like, it made them all human. All of them. Even, you know, the god. You know, and I mean, I really love...
You gotta do that in order to make them more endearing to the audience.
No, and I thought it was ingenious. Because I think that's where people, like, felt the most butthurt, because in their mind they have built up these superheroes to be invincible. Like, yeah, they'll get beaten up a little bit, but, like, none of them die. No. They are just as human in this situation as the kids on Peter Parker's bus. Or as the,
Okay, you know. So I want to jump here before we get to our next topic, but I gotta say that there's some things that I gotta throw a technical foul on in the movie. And okay. Again, I think it's part of the reason why I was just like, eh, it was a good superhero movie, but I wasn't like, splooge. Okay. Number one, I think it's a total cop-out that Thor gets an eye back.
It's not...
It's cop-out.
I'm not too sure. Because one, in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, you know, Groot did take this dude's eye. And they did linger on that a little long in that movie. I'm like, someone's gonna take this eye. Or someone's gonna find it and be like,
I don't care about the taking of the eye and all that kind of stuff. It's a cop-out for Thor to get the eye back. Okay? In Ragnarok, one of the only things that I liked about Ragnarok was I liked the fact that Thor won... kind of met his match, okay, and it cost him something, okay, and that was the thing that humbled him and made him really focus on, am I doing what I'm doing?
I don't know if the eye
can I finish my thought, please?
Yeah, but, yeah.
Can I finish it?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. And in being knocked down the peg and actually injured in a way that, one, made him similar to Odin, you know, who he ultimately takes the place of as the ruler of Asgard. It was the moment that humbled him to the point where he had to question what he was doing. And rather than, I'm so badass and I'm, you know, worthy of really wielding Mjolnir and that's why I can kick your ass. And actually, no, Mjolnir's a training wheel for you until you can actually realize your true destiny and your true path. Because you are the weapon and you have to harness it yourself. It was the price he paid, his catalyst for change. So, in the very next time that you see him, to be like, hey, I know you went through all this thing and this growth thing and it like helped you be a better leader or whatever and it cost you your eye, but fuck it. Here, have an eye back. And this one's better than your last one. It's bullshit.
Is your thought done?
My thought is now done. You may now rebut.
Okay. Here's my butt. But, no. And I'm not diminishing what you're saying in this, but I feel like there's a much bigger metaphor in Ragnarok that the eye is just a visual representation of that. Because I feel like the biggest loss for Thor in that movie... is all this history of Asgard that was built up in him from his father. So it's more of the loss of Odin. That's the biggest loss. Like the eye, absolutely. But that's more symbolic because, like I said, it aligns him with Odin. You know, and it aligns him with this whole history of Asgard that he was made to believe and wholeheartedly believed and then found out was a brutal lie. Or rather...
perpetrated by whom?
Or rather, I shouldn't even say it. It's not necessarily a lie. Just
the truth. It was a hidden truth.
The hidden truth about the origins of. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that Thor loses in this. And I think of all the things. Yes, the eye is a big deal. But I think of all of it, it's the lesser of it. So, okay, yeah, he gets an eye. But he has no home. And the ship that he was going to make his home has now been completely taken from him and obliterated.
But in Ragnarok, Odin tells him and Loki on the side of the cliff that Asgard is wherever you make it and you call home. So it's not a loss of home because that's already dealt with and addressed. And I agree that there is the whole hidden truth piece. But again... the hero's path doesn't change, and his actions don't change, and his emotions don't change until in that battle where he's faced with someone. When Hela grabs Mjolnir and smashes it, that is his catalyst for change. Up until that moment, even with Loki doing his bullshit and Odin dying... Thor does not change.
Well, I mean, it is in that fight. Mjolnir gets broken, before all of that, though. She smashes that when she first ascends, like, moments after Odin has, like...
but this is what I'm saying.
Disintegrated.
She smashes Mjolnir, and he goes, oh, shit.
I mean,
he goes, oh, shit.
Yes, I agree. I'm not saying he doesn't.
Right.
But I think he also kind of got a little shocked when he finds all those murals where she originally, was able to wield it, and they were going on a killing spree. And she was able to wield, because she was wielding Malnir in those murals.
Correct.
So, like, I feel like the severity of his loss is a lot more than the eye. But, yes, I believe...
It is a lot more than the eye. But the
We are made to believe that that is the biggest loss that he gets in that movie. And it's
I'm not saying that it's the biggest. It is the catalyst for his change.
So, I mean, agree to disagree, but...
Okay, right. And so, for me, if you take the thing that is the catalyst for change and then just give it back... then you're basically negating the change.
Well, I mean, I think multiple things were catalysts for him. Malnir was his hair was all the lead up. The staple of everything that made Thor to him.
Thor. Right. And so all I'm saying is the pivotal thing, like in watching Ragnarok, the pivotal moment for me in watching Thor progress through that movie, when he changes, is the catalyst for him to do the real deep reflection, to stop thinking about himself first, to start working with people as a team. Because let's be real, up until this point, Thor's kind of a dick. Because I'm a fucking god. So you guys go do your thing. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to solve this thing. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to do this thing. Bye!
I'll show up when it seems convenient for me.
And so after losing his eye and having to do the deep gut check, that's when he starts, one, asking Valkyrie for help, asking Hulk for help, being a support team member, working with Loki, like, it's...
working with Loki while still realizing he can't fully trust him.
Right. And that, to me, the catalyst for all those things was the eye loss.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not negating the stuff leading up to it, because, yes, the reveal of the truth of Odin and how Asgard was founded before him, you know, all of that stuff, huge, huge, huge catalysts for him. Mjolnir being snapped, huge catalyst. All of his friends being slaughtered by his sister, also huge catalysts, and definitely affect and drive his story. But the pivot point for him was in the loss of the eye. So for me, with that understanding, you giving him back a fucking eye basically spits on that whole catalyst and arc of change.
All right, if you...
Okay,
that's what you're perfectly allowed to believe.
It would be like, okay, you got Superman. His only weakness is kryptonite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it makes him weak as a puppy.
Well, I mean, it depends on what canon and what color kryptonite. Green kryptonite
under a red sun, okay?
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you. I'm just saying. All right,
kryptonite under a red sun, okay? It would be like Superman under a red sun, green kryptonite. You're like, oh, this is the thing. I put it right next to you, makes you human. Oh, you have a hard time breathing. I can now cut you. I can now kill you, right?
Right.
And so you know this. You're Supermaning around. You're trying to avoid green kryptonite.
Right, and red suns, yeah.
Okay, all right. And under a red sun, all of a sudden, green kryptonite now just makes your hair grow long.
Okay, yeah.
You can actually hold it, Superman.
Yeah, all right, that's kind of stupid. I get it. Okay,
so that's and why I call it bullshit.
So, all right,
you
so
didn't
is that
have
the,
to give him back an eye.
Is that the only thing that you think is bullshit?
No, that's one of my main ones. I'm like, because this is bullshit.
Okay.
You have just basically devalued something that was actually the thing that was worth value in a previous movie. Because you basically have been like, here, Thor, here's your eye. You're all balanced. You can go back to being a dick and doing things all by yourself again. Ha-ha! We'll just forget Ragnarok happened.
No, right? None of us will forget Ragnarok.
No,
one,
but
totally
that's
that
what symbolic giving
it.
Him back that eye does for me. And also, Thor is much more badass when he's one-eyed, like Odin, because it shows that he actually has scars of battle that he can learn from, and he remembers. You take that all away now, and now he's just, you know, gorgeous Chris Helmsworth.
Well, he's gorgeous Helmsworth with a little eye scar, but he did watch his brother literally get, like, punched.
He's watched Loki die a couple of times now.
Yeah, but this was like, no, no regens this time, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, Loki doesn't come back this time.
Yeah.
As long as that was actually Loki.
I've heard several people like, no, maybe he will. I'm like, did you not see how blue he turned?
Look, it just depends on whether or not that's actually Loki, because you know that Loki can project.
Yes, I get that, and I mean, that'd be a long con.
But I don't think Loki comes back. I don't think Loki comes back. I don't think that he projected himself.
No,
I think that, again, in order to make the statement, there have to be some people that come back. And Loki wasn't one of the people that were poofed. So I personally believe that when the Thanos snap is undone, only the people that were poofed out of existence will come back.
I don't know.
But anyway, I
feel like the gauntlet has
more depends on the wearer and what their desire is.
Right.
Okay. If their desire is to bring back everyone that was killed by Thanos, then you can get Loki back and you can get Gamora back.
Are we really 100% sure Gamora is dead?
Seeing as how we saw her in the Soul Realm.
Hold on.
There's a difference between dead and, you know, all the stuff being in the Soul Realm. We'll get to that. We'll talk about that nerdery.
Okay, good.
We'll get there. Don't you worry.
I've had to have so many debates about this.
But anyway, don't you worry. We'll get to the Soul Realm. Okay.
All right.
But let's take it a step back. So you were asking other things that I was calling shenanigans on in the movie.
Yes, please.
Okay, so
outside of
Thor just getting his eye back, I also call shenanigans, frankly, on the whole Thanos getting Vision Stone, because you guys should be smart at this point. You've been told that he's coming for Vision Stone because it's the last one. He has all the other stones. Which means you guys know he has the Time Stone.
I think on the time that he showed up, they weren't... I don't know if they had confirmation that he had the Time Stone yet. We as the audience saw it happen on Titan, so we knew. But no one on Earth would have that knowledge to know. Now, granted...
I thought they relayed it, and that's why they were like, everybody get around Vision. Thanos is coming for the stone.
Right. So, like, it... And I mean... They knew he was coming regardless, so it didn't matter which stones he already had.
Because they knew that he was going after Tony and Strange to get the Time Stone.
Well...
Because they had had that conversation.
Well, I mean, I know Tony and Strange had that conversation on the ship. Like, we need to take it to him and keep him as far away from Earth as possible. But I don't think, like, there was a quick text between everybody so they knew what was up. I think the movie suffers from, and this is just my honest opinion, that no one should be fully aware as to where Thanos is. So no one knows the order in which he is trying to retrieve these stones. I mean, everyone's kind of mad dashing, hoping to intercede him. And it seemed like at every point in turn that one chunk of the team got to a place where there was a stone previously or whatnot, Thanos was already there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I...
And yeah, it's not like it's at not, the collector's not, place.
And, right. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, he telegraphed me. He's like, guys, I'm going after the stones in this order. Like, I felt like it was a plot circumstance that, like, conveniently at the time that they decided to go find the Reality Stone, that Gamora and Peter Quinn and them were all going to the collector.
I don't disagree. I just call bullshit on the fact that, as I recall, there was a communication. I can't remember if it was Spider-Man before he got on the rocket trying to stay with Iron Man or not. Or when it was they were doing the fight in Central Square and Tony radioed back. But I swear that I have a recollection that there was communication that they had the Green Stone and were protecting it.
Well, I know Tony was going after Strange because Strange had the stone. So, like, he could have said something in a throwaway, like, I'm off to get the wizard, you know.
Right, and I thought that there was some communication back with Brody when they were having the fight in the city.
Maybe.
But anyway, either way, I call bullshit on if Thanos is coming for Vision Stone, and you guys can see the gauntlet, because he fucking has it on his hand, you know he's got the Green Stone. He's got 4 to 5 stones, which means Even if you don't know, the green screen is the time stone.
Even if he doesn't have that, he's still already unbeatable.
Right.
When he got the space stone, he was already, like, off.
Like, he can warp space. Yeah. So, getting distance isn't gonna help. Like, you guys are pretty smart. But if you could see on the gauntlet, so let's just roll it back to, like, the simplest thing, right? Let's say that no communication happened. If you can see he's got four out of the five stones, you know that one of those stones is the time stone, because Vision doesn't have the time stone in his head.
Right.
So you know he has the time stone. And you know he has the space stone. And you know he has the power stone.
And you know he's got the reality stone.
And he's got the reality stone. So why on God's fucking green earth are you guys staying in any space whatsoever? Ever
near
Thanos,
yeah,
with the thing he wants.
So, is there any other really big bullshits you want to call?
Those are like my two big ones, because I was like, really, guys? Like, those are the moments where I was like, really, really, we're gonna do this? We're gonna do this now? Otherwise, I mean, I thought that they did a decent job with the movie. The way that Spider-Man gets blown away was really the only time in the movie that I got emotional.
Oh.
It was. And to find out after.
I did not cry. I was actually really surprised because I had a whole bunch of friends who had seen it.
I didn't cry then.
Right. No, but I'm just saying, but you did. Like, tears did fall, though.
I can admit it. A tear.
Okay.
When Groot was blown away.
So, like. And I was then, surprised because
hold on one second. Okay. I don't know. Just because I want to stay on the spoilers. Someone asked James Gunn what Groot said to Rocket as he was disappearing.
Oh right, because it wasn't. We didn't see any.
And do you want to know what he said?
Yes.
Dad.
Oh no.
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God.
Oh no. Yes. Be broken.
Oh, my
Be
God.
Broken.
Oh, well, that's... Okay, yeah, that's kind of sucky.
Yeah. Okay, I'll shut up now and you can talk.
Okay, all right. So, I feel, and this is just my opinion, that Infinity War was a movie that... And I want to make sure I say this right. To me, I felt like this was the movie that showed... key players making critically horrible mistakes. Like, not one person can attribute to the failure of the whole project. There have been failures across the board, which just kept, you know, that just kept Thanos on it moving forward. So, I mean, like, because, like, as I was walking out of this movie, I was with my husband and our mutual friend, and we were just like, man... You know, Star-Lord really fucked up. And I'm like, he's not the only one. You know, like, everyone's like, yeah, so-and-so did this, and this was far worse. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Not diminishing that. But let's play this all
Dude,
back.
If Star-Lord isn't a bitch, Thanos doesn't have the gauntlet.
So, I mean, but this...
So it's a, to your point, critical fuck-up.
Yes. I think because if you were knowledgeable, you understood that obviously these mistakes were going to happen, or a variation of these critical failures were going to happen. But everyone was like, I want to pinpoint, like, everyone's looking for that one person to blame. And in this case, you can't. There are too many people who have done the wrong thing because they let their emotion dictate their impulse. Case in point. Loki with the Tesseract and Thor Ragnarok. We all knew when he walked by that, as comedically as he did it, that he was going to take it. Right? Like, we
but
all knew
Loki.
That was going to happen.
Of course he's going to take it.
He was going to take it.
He and probably took other things out of the vault as well.
Right. Wouldn't be the... Right. But I'm just saying, so like when that whole scene... Loki. Like, when that whole scene happens and Thor's like, no, it was on Asgard. And it's like, oh, Thor... Like, you should have really, like, gone through Loki's room on the spaceship.
You really should have done an inventory after, like, Asgard was booed up.
Like, come to fuck on. And I'm like, but there were so many critical failures. Like I said, like Loki critically failed because he took that Tesseract. Because, you know, if he had, it would have been blown up during Ragnarok. And that would have completely stopped the movie and it would have stopped Thanos in his tracks.
Right.
But no.
But we knew this movie was coming, so obviously he was going to take it. And it wasn't going to be on Asgard. So it's not necessarily a fuck up because there's not really like a choice.
Right. But I mean, in my opinion, like I said, this is just a movie that shows that critical failures lead to critical devastation. Because you had that happen. And then, like, that whole scene with, you know, baby Gamora and, you know, the balancing of the knife. I'm like, there is no way. Because, like, someone's like, is that stone in her blade the reality stone? And the fact that it lays perfectly balanced the way reality does and blah. Like, people were throwing out all these theories. I'm like, Thanos would not have been that trusting, as much as he loved Gamora, and that was good, like that whole setup, which we haven't even gotten to yet, like it was genius. But I was like, there's no way he wouldn't trust the reality stone. Like, he would have just kept it, because one, that would have just been one in the bag that he would have already had.
Right.
I'm like, but you know, like, I like how they were playing with us with it, because it was a red stone in that blade, and like they made the callback to it to make sure that it was important. And I'm just like, I love how it played into when they finally go to the collector and, like, he has the stone and he subverts reality. Like, they played with so many things and it was so poignant. And I'm like, and at that point, like, in the movie, you know, Star-Lord's been told, like, hey, if something goes down, I need you to do me a solid here, and you gotta end my life. Like, no fucking around, Star-Lord, like, I'm not trying to be cute. Like, I'm not. Gotta take me out. And, like, and that human vulnerability that made, like, and I mean, granted, he pulled the trigger, but he pulled it too late. You know, and that hesitation later on costs him a lot. And also, like, the grave era of all the Avengers who are still alive.
It costs the universe, like, so much.
It's not even just, it's not just the Earth anymore. It is all existence.
Right. And no. You know, being the son of a planet, you should kind of know that.
Like, right. And I mean, like, I there's just so many things that go in my head. I'm like, they all know that these stones have this magic power, and if they managed to get, like, if they had the chance to get the time stone, like, why not be like, hey, Strange, could you, like, reverse time to the point where this happened and, like, fix it? Or, like, reality stone, if I get the reality stone, can I just, like, subvert reality? Like, I don't know why people weren't thinking further ahead a little bit.
Because then you don't have a movie.
Possibly, I guess. But but there were so many grave errors that happened here.
I mean, like, that's many. Pretty much, like, my whole, you know, he's coming for Vision. Why are you guys still on this planet or in these woods with Vision? Like, why?
Well, the reason was they went to why didn't they just tag the black people early? Hey, they got advanced technology. Hey, Vision superior technology. Hey, Shuri, could you, look, like, at this? Like,
the moment, she looked at him, like, that you guys minutes know.
Before that fight, it would have been done.
Seriously, the moment you guys know that Thanos is moving to get the stones, you should have taken Vision
straight to fucking hesitation, Wakanda.
Straight to Wakanda.
Like,
especially knowing that Tony Stark is not on the planet, you gotta go straight to Wakanda.
Like, I don't know why they just didn't hit up, like, you know, Avenger Tower when they all showed up with, like, Vision messed up. It's like, guys, you could have gone just straight to Wakanda and, like, hit them up on the Skype and be like,
seriously,
yo, we got the package.
Been out of him at that point.
Right! And it would have, right! But they didn't do that.
Nope.
And I mean,
then Wanda takes forever to fucking blow it up. And I'm just like, hey, why are you even blowing it up? Like, this is me. Why are you even blowing it up? He has the time stone.
I know.
He's just going to warp time.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I dig this Scarlet Witch in a way I didn't think I was going to like at all. Because at first I thought like in the first movie where she was kind of like introduced, like they brought her in so meekly. And I know why they did that. But I was still like, there's so much more going on there that you guys aren't even really tapping into. And then like I feel like for her, like, she delivered because, you know, like, they've been running this whole time because they just want to exist. They just want to be able to exist and be together, you know? And he was like, you got to do it. I hate that it's got to be, and I mean, Paul Bettany, like, I could just listen to that man talk at me. He could say the most boring things, and I'd absorb all of it like a sexy sponge. Like, please just talk at me, Paul Bettany, forever. And I mean, like, but she did it. Like, she follows through, where a lot of people who did critical mistakes didn't follow through or thought they could do things another way. But she took
too much time to follow through.
I know. Also. I mean, but I'm giving her credit for doing it. Because
she did.
She did it. Like, she could have been like, no, and, like, he could have ripped the stone out, like, but I mean, the fact that, yes, he had the time stone, so it was moot at that point, because no matter what the outcome was, he could have reversed time.
Right.
So, yeah, there were missteps everywhere. And I like that because it makes the movie and makes the experience more real.
Right, because going back to that whole, you know, it humanizes all of the heroes in that they're imperfect.
Yes. But overall, because, like, the biggest thing walking away was, you know, like, walking out the movie, everyone has their own opinion. And everyone's mm-hmm. like, well, what's going to happen now is, like, all the people who are still, like, currently right now that we are aware of that are still alive, or at least material. Because we know Tony's up in space.
Yep.
You know, by himself, which was his fear all along. No, they all got taken out. He's the only one, him and Nebula. Sorry.
That's what I was like to say. Well.
But I'm just saying. Yeah. No Doctor Strange. No Spider-Man.
No Strange. No Mantis.
No. Right. Everyone but Nebula. But I'm like, everyone that Tony was like trying to protect and, you know, nurture in some type of way all got ripped from him, which was like, is the core of his fear.
Yep.
So, like, Thanos did, like, some nice mental espionage and, like, totally took it to the mental penis of Tony Stark, which I totally dig. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and everyone's like, oh, well, now all they have to do is get the gauntlet and be able to do this. I'm like, not necessarily. Because after Thanos used his, you know, time-snapping powers, if you look at that gauntlet, it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, the gauntlet's fucked. But.
Right. I'm getting to that.
Okay.
I'm getting all to right. that.
And everyone's like,
they just got to get the gauntlet. It's like, the gauntlet's really messed up, but there's a template out there. We saw it. They lingered on it for a few seconds too long, and I'm like, why are you reshowing? Oh, I know why. Because they're going to attempt to make a new one, put those stones in it, and whoever manages to do that will be the wielder, and they'll do whatever. And I'm like, guys, I'm like, even if they do this, and I mean, I know that that's what the gameplay is going to be, but looking at who we've got still in current play right now, this is going to be a Hail Mary of a movie. Because of everyone who
needs
is still...
to be, because right. really, there's not, in all honesty, a hell of a lot of excitement in this movie. It's a lot of the heroes that you know losing. Like, Hulk won't come out.
Right.
Right? So... Right. So Steve is losing a fight within himself to bring out the power within himself that pretty much everybody has relied on him having.
Right.
Like, the only person that relied on his intelligence was Tony. Everybody else just relied on the Hulk coming out and smashing.
Right.
Right?
I know,
so
yes.
So you got Steve Banner having that fight within himself and losing it. He can't get the Hulk to come out. Right? You've got Thor... Okay, who wasn't able to protect everybody on his ship, the last remaining Asgardians, wasn't able to protect his brother. So he suffered his losses. He does have Stormbringer. Which
right.
is very important. Because it can damage Thanos.
Right.
But even in when he damaged Thanos, which we saw, still didn't kill him. Right? So he's probably not the guy to take Thanos out.
Right.
And of the people that we saw that were left, he's theoretically the strongest, right?
Because
Banner's losing his fight.
I think he's the only superhuman that we've got, because everybody else who's still active, because, I mean, we've got Captain America, but that's super strength. So mm-hmm. we have a lot of brawler, physical action.
Right, because we see that we have left in the wake of Thanos with his snap, that you have Tony Stark.
Yep.
That you have Steve Banner.
Yep.
who probably is going to find his mojo. It's probably going to involve Black Widow, but he'll find his mojo and be able to get the Hulk to come back out in the next movie, mm-hmm. right? You've got Black Widow. You've got...
Rhodey's still there because...
Yep, War Machine.
Falcon, right.
Right? Falcon's right. gone. We yeah, still have Falcon War Machine. Gone. You have Nebula.
You have Nebula. Yep. You have Rocket.
You have Rocket. And that's who we see.
Right. Like, we don't know about Ant-Man.
And you have Okoye. About...
Yes. Oh, man. I'm gonna have me a black moment for like a split second. Like, you know, T'Challa just got through saving Wakanda from freaking Killmonger and like just had a moment to breathe. And like, really? Really? Okay. Bitch, please.
Okay. Now, we said who we can see.
There's, see, right.
There are, okay, the folks that we don't see.
Right.
Okay, that I think that are still around. And it's going to be really important because I think Shuri is okay. And I think that Hawkeye is okay.
I think so, too.
Okay, because again, in Thanos' thing, it was balancing out the universe. And in the balance, it was taking half of the universe population. So if you take the king, theoretically, for balance, princess remains. You have your two major Playboy scientists, Dr. Strange and Tony Stark. Strange goes, Stark stays.
Right.
Okay. You have your Asgardians.
Well, you have Thor.
Loki's gone, so Thor stays. Obviously, if you stayed after the after credits, you saw that you lost both Nick Fury and... what's her face? What's her name?
I don't know. I thought her last name was like Steel or Slate or something like that. Yeah. I don't remember who she
is. I think it's Slate. Let's go with that. So you see that as far as like the leaders of S.H.I.E.L.D., you see those two go. But before completely goes, Fury sends a page.
I know, a page.
Right? A page. I'm going to say Captain Marvel. It might be Ms. Marvel at this point.
No, it's Captain Marvel because they're going to introduce Ms. Marvel after Captain.
Okay.
It's Captain.
Okay. So, Captain Marvel. This is super important. And, like, for the people who in my theater stayed to the after credits, I was the only one in the theater who was like, yeah, like, out loud. I black reacted. Everybody just looked at me in my row like, what? And why is that important?
Well, there's a point of contention here because Captain Marvel is one of those Marvel characters who has kind of jumped around different teams in her canon for years.
Yep.
And because of this, because in my research and stuff, like it really kind of depends on which canon of Ms. Marvel we're getting. Because
we're getting the one that actually defeated fucking Thanos.
So
that's why it's important.
I'm sure a lot of people were like, "Wait, but not everyone is fully aware of how."
And that's what I'm saying. Again, this is where I come back. Do your fucking research. Do your homework.
Yeah.
Because in the lore, because it wasn't Squirrel Girl, which really it should have been.
No, because Squirrel Girl convinces Galactus to, like, not fuck shit up just by talking to him.
So, like, get the time stone, go back in time, have Squirrel Girl talk with Thanos, boom, done.
Boom!
Fixed, right? So if you're not calling Squirrel Girl, okay, the next person that you call to take out Thanos should be Captain Marvel. Because, in all honesty... Captain Marvel, as far as, like, who's left in the world, is the only person that could take out Thanos. Because we've already seen that Thor can't do it, even with Stormbringer.
But maybe she can with him distracting Thanos?
She can absolutely do it, whether she's in her Captain Marvel form or she's in her binary form. And I think it's probably going to be binary form.
So, yeah.
Because but
I think some people... have a different perception of her, or they only know her in a certain subset of skill.
Yeah, and, so, and like, hey, you know what?
Skill she has,
sucks to be
no
you. Because personally, the way that I see Infinity War, the second going, is that they do get the stones. They bring back everybody that Thanos killed. We'll talk about that in a second. Okay? And then in her binary form, having absorbed, oh, I don't know, the light of the fucking Forge planet, destroys all the stones.
That would be done. Done deal! It's a wrap.
That's why you bring in Captain Marvel.
Why didn't you bring, why didn't we bring her? I know, because there'd be no movie.
Right? But there would be no movie. But that's how you fix that.
Yeah. Good point. So let's talk about that, you know, existence versus non-existence and the soul
yes.
realm.
Let's,
because,
let's
I mean, a lot of people were really quick to catch on to, you know, the orange haze and, you know, that people thought that that weird memory moment with Thanos and Child Gamora was like, you know, him in his mind. And I'm like, no.
Mm-mm.
He in the soul gem.
Yeah.
Where her soul is, because mm-hmm. I think people were, when they saw what happened, you know, on Voltar, wherever the stone was,
mm-hmm.
that I think a lot of people were like, oh man, he's got to, and Red Skull, which, nice clap back for Red
yeah,
Skull.
Nice callback. Those
I'm
going to
clap it
things.
Back and roll it back and just all the backs, sexy back for Red Skull. I'm going to do all the backs. Anyway. Nice callback to Red Skull. And I mean, like, everyone's like, yeah, he killed her. I'm like, did you not listen to Red Skull? You have to sacrifice a soul for the gem. He didn't say kill. You just have to offer a soul.
He didn't say you had to sacrifice a life. He said you had to offer.
For a soul.
A soul. And it had to be a soul that was meaningful.
Full. Yes. So, and I mean, like, for a moment in the movie when he brings that all up and she's all like, how funny is the world? It's laughing at you. I'm like, bitch, back up. Back up right now. Like, don't even think about it. Like, I understand that you feel real powerful right now, but you are in the wrong.
I was literally in the theater when Red Skull was saying that to Thanos, and I was literally going, oh, bitch, you gonna die.
I was like, back
and
up.
Then she starts laughing. I'm like, oh, and you don't realize you're gonna die.
Right.
You don't like, realize it's you.
Come on.
I was like
come
and
on,
then,
Gamora.
And then, again, so this is kind of like one of my nitpicks.
Bullshit.
Yeah, just like kind of.
It's
okay.
A mini bullshit. It's
how it's a mini bullshit. So it's like a bull.
Okay.
How are you, Gamora, not aware that Thanos actually loves you? Okay, because you have seen firsthand what he's done to Nebula.
Right.
He has never done that to you. Even when you went fucking rogue and went out with the Guardians against him, right?
Right.
Okay, Thanos has many. We've seen his crew. Okay? He could have very easily sent his crew out to retrieve you and fuck your Christmas. He didn't. He let you run around the fucking galaxy
yeah.
doing what you wanted to do.
I mean, I felt like the movie did a really great job of showing just how unreliable of a narrator, at least personally, Gamora is. Because the whole time she's like, yeah, I'm going to kill my dad. And like, yeah, she goes through it in like the reality that he let play out. But like when he finally has her and he's all like back at the throne and she's like, I hate this room. And he's like, I wanted you to sit on that throne. Like, I'm like, he's being genuine to you.
Yeah,
like, you're just acting like a bratty teenage daughter
right.
who doesn't understand.
And you're not hearing him.
Him, right. And I'm sitting there like, oh no. I'm like, the folly of most women.
Okay. And like, especially when they do the flashback to, you
like,
know,
when
him wiping out her planet.
Like, he could have been an asshole and made him watch.
Made her
he
watch.
Liked.
But he shielded her from that.
Like, yeah, look over here. Happy shiny keys!
Yep. Here, balance this thing. Balance this thing. Oh, look at this thing. Balance. Isn't that important? See, if you tip it too much this way, it goes this the entire
yeah.
time that, like, half of her people are being wiped
and, I mean,
out.
And her mom.
He shielded her from that. And then
yeah.
took her as his own.
Yeah.
Like, you should really, whether you want to agree with it or not, understand
that is
a caring thing to do.
Give him the best dad mug, but
yeah, yeah,
you know,
Thanos is definitely not getting a number one dad mug.
Like, definitely not, but...
Okay,
he clearly
he gets no ties for Father's Day.
He clearly had daddy feelings for you and did several times show them to you. You right. were just too blind
you
in your rage.
You were just being oblivious to them.
And that's what's going to cost you your soul.
Right. Well, it cost her her body because she still her soul.
Because which we should talk about briefly because we are so going to
overrun you today. Talk about this part because I've been talking a lot.
Okay, so like I said, a lot of people really caught on that during that scene in Infinity War when it's the orange glow and he's sitting and he is talking to Child Gamora and she's like, did you get what you wanted and at what cost? Like, everyone thought that this was just a fever dream of his, and it's not. So the whole point of the Soul Stone, like we've kind of alluded to, is that you have to offer a meaningful, important soul to the stone in order for you to wield it, for it to reveal itself. So when Thanos pitches her off of that very, very steep drop, because, like, she lands on, like, this pillar that has, like, this engraving, and, like, yeah, like, she bleeds a little bit onto it, but literally her soul just seeps into the stone. So she's not, like, her physical form is gone currently, but her soul is existing in the Soul Gem. And depending on which comics you read, where they've had encounters with the Soul Stone, because there are several different, very out there comic books that have all, someone in the universe has encountered the stone before, you find out that there is a world in the Soul Stone. And there are other, well, I mean, I don't know if they're going to show that there are other souls in this stone when we see it in the next Infinity War. They probably
will. Half of the universe? Souls about half the universe?
Yeah. Are all in the stone.
Yeah. Because the soul, so like, soul's they're not, drive is it wants to consume souls.
Yeah. So, and I mean, and in the history of the Soul Stone in action in comic books, we have seen, I think there have been at least, I want to say three or four of the souls that have been trapped in there have escaped out of it. And guess what one of those souls has been in canon? Our girl Gamora. So, I mean, there's so many different ways that Infinity War could go.
Look, Gamora has to sense. Come out of the stone because there's another Guardians movie still in the lineup.
Right. So, but I know, like, people are like, no way. I'm like, look it up. It's true. She gets trapped in there from our good friend, her daddy. You know, and it's not as simple as, oh, I found a hidey hole, I'm free now. Like, it's not that easy to get out of the Soul Stone. But she does in canon, which means if she doesn't get out that way, then when Miss Marvel does her, Captain Marvel does her awesome bit, she'll get released that way, maybe. But either way, this is not the end of Gamora. So, like, people were losing their shit over it. And I'm really sad that, like, she was delusional and totally thought that Thanos did not have a fiber of emotion for her. I'm sad that she was fooled by herself. But maybe now she'll be a little humble and sit down more often and think about things before she opens her mouth.
Maybe she'll be less of a bitch.
I mean, Thanos kind of made her a bitch, you know, like, you know.
Well, I mean, she kind of made herself a bitch. Thanos
She did not help the situation, neither did Thanos. So, like, they're equally to blame for the bitchiness resides there.
Thanos put down a seed, but she watered and nurtured that shit.
I mean, she wrote a lot of angry nerd emo poetry.
She put a lot of fertilizer on that seed, is what I'm trying to say.
So, I mean, everyone's like, oh, God, she's not going to come back. It's like, yeah, she will. Relax. Like, it may not be right away, but it will happen. So, calm down. It's okay. But, like, I was like, aw, hell yeah. We're gonna see the Soul Gem in its purest form. So, hell yeah. I was all about that. But anyway, I'm happy that they took proper care and direction with Infinity War, because they could have easily have, like, skirted around that and softened a lot of blows, but I'm kind of glad that they punched the viewers, me included, in the face here. I'm glad that they made it as visceral and as guttural as they did. And, I mean, me as a fan, like, clearly didn't want to see any of my husbandos, like, get poofed out of existence, but I needed to. We as an audience needed to see the reality of this fight. And while we're not happy about it, like, it had to be done. Very much in the vein of Thanos believing that what he had to do had to be done. So, like, kudos to this team for, like, developing this and nurturing this and cultivating this really honest direction for it.
So that's all we got for this week. And we will be back talking about more games and anime next week. So if you enjoyed this podcast, which I hope you did, please subscribe to our podcast. You can get it in iTunes. Just search for the Eshcast and subscribe, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device. So please do leave us a review, give us a thumbs up, all that wonderful stuff. We really do appreciate your feedback on the podcast. Share it with your friends. Let them get a hold of our episodes and our archives. You can also check out some of the great reviews, previews, and editorials that the team is creating on a weekly basis on our site, electricsisterhood.com. Bookmark us, put us in your favorites, add us to your favorite RSS feed. You can get the links right there on our homepage of our site. Pretty quick and easy. You can also check out some of our video reviews as well as our previous event coverage all on the site. And comment on your favorite social media networks. Share our stuff on your favorite social media networks. Hype up Eshness, because we are tired of being the best kept secret on the internet. But if you enjoy what we do here at Esh, then please make sure that you check out some of the other great content creators that are part of our network. And that starts with our homie King Baby Duck over at b3crew.com with his podcast, No Borders, No Race. Brand new episode just went live, so please make sure that you check it out. He is doing some really interesting indie, K-pop, rock musicians in helping you discover some really fantastic bands that you probably are not aware of, but you really should be, as well as talking about anime and manga and games. All kinds of great stuff happening over at b3crew.com. So please check out the site, bookmark it, and also subscribe to his podcast, No Borders, No Race. Our homie Hamsterman 2049 streams live on Twitch every Wednesday night at 9 Eastern. You can get the link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. Typically in the afternoon, he'll let you know what time he's going live if it's not going to be at 9, but he plays all kinds of games, retro and the new, with a different game every week. So be sure to check out his stream, jump into chat, let him know that you're there. They're absolutely fun streams. I highly recommend them. One of my favorite humans on the planet, I've said it before, I'll say it again, Phil the Issues Guy with Phil's Recap and Review. I absolutely love his recaps. They are the most enjoyable time that you will spend on the internet, I guarantee. Boing! So please make sure that you check out his YouTube channel, Phil's Recap and Review. Subscribe. Hit up his website to check out his archive, issuesprogram.com. Fantastic, fantastic stuff that you can check out and be part of live. You can call in, be on the chat. It is an interactive recap show, and there's nothing like it on the internet, so please make sure that you check it out, and let him know that the chicks from Esh sent you when you do, when you pop in a chat. He loves that. And finally, the nerds over at nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave, from comic books and anime to manga and video games, movies, and more. If it's nerdy, if you love it, they're talking about it over at nerdcrave.com. So please check out all of our sites, bookmark them, share them on social, engage with us on social. Like I said, our Facebook page is facebook.com/landofesh. We're also on Instagram at ESH News. Double tap away if you see something that you like. Subscribe, give us a like, all those wonderful things. Make sure that you check out our Twitter at ESH News. We share a bunch of the articles we're writing, as well as just the stuff that we find interesting and we're reading from other places. So it's a really great way to aggregate some really cool game and anime and manga and cosplay stuff. So please make sure that you engage with us on Twitter. And of course, we've got our YouTube channel. You'll find the archives of what we're streaming on Mixer on our page, as well as our video reviews. So please make sure that you visit youtube.com/electricsisterhood. Get us across all of our socials. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell, do all those things. And until next time, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out.
Titties.